Hey there. If you're still here, you're probably wondering why we had that hiatus and wondering why we didn't address it in any of the intros or outros or in the episode itself. That's 'cause backlog, long story short. But I wanted to just give you a quick answer. I got busy with work, Chris got busy with work, and life and stuff like that. And so we just had a long break where we didn't even record episodes, and Chris didn't have a lot of motivation or time to edit, and Lord knows I didn't either. Chris is the main editor for this show, just for the record. So yeah, I just wanted to tell you all that so you had an answer that was a little bit longer than tweet length. Sorry if, you were in love with this podcast. We're gonna put this on to the end of one of the episodes. I don't know which one Chris is on right now in terms of editing. But yeah, I just wanted to explain that to you in a much lower quality recording. Love you. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Like, comment, and subscribe. Wait, shit, wrong medium. Bang, bang, bang. Peace, nerd. Hello, mech fans around the world and those that aren't fans yet, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom, the podcast where your two tragically romantic co-hosts, Fuzzy, that'd be me, and Chris, watch, summarize, critique, and make fun of the entirety of the Gundam franchise, from beginning to end. This is episode 10, and we'll be talking about episode 10 of Mobile Suit Gundam 0079, Garma's Fate, in which we lose someone important to us. Moe agare, and take it away.
Tell the nice people where they what shit they just did.
Hello, everyone. Welcome.
Fuck! I just took a drink of water. How dare you?
Welcome back.
You're a monster, Fuzzy.
To Mobile Suit Gundam. Well, Mobile Suit
that's
Fandom.
Okay, that's all better.
Shit. Fuck.
Take two.
No, there are no take two. I own my mistakes.
Beautiful. Yeah, hello, I'm Chris.
I'm Fuzzy. And together we will rule the galaxy as shitty friends across distance who will talk about Gundam.
I really think we're more of a Team Rocket situation than Global Conquerors. I don't...
Listen, you're right.
Like, at best, we're like Team Skull. At best. But probably just Team Rocket.
Now, okay, here's the question, because I would argue anime Team Rocket is better than Team Skull from the entirety of the game.
Yeah, but Team Skull has doper music.
Shit, you're right. You're right, though. Fucking those funky fresh tunes as you're walking down the street, and they're just fucking posing.
As soon as they show up, I turn the volume back up on my Game Boy. They're not called Game Boys anymore, are they?
They're
just 3DS, aren't they?
They're called 3DSs.
Fucking, I am so old, Fuzzy. Anyways,
you're
welcome
not
to Mobile.
That much older than me, Chris.
I am almost 30.
That's not quite a decade.
I'm ancient.
Anyway, welcome to
welcome to my midlife crisis.
Motherfucker, you're 30.
Everybody in my family, all the men in my family, die at 60 something. So,
oh well,
it's
okay.
Close enough.
Fair, I guess, when you put it
not a whole lot of strong hearts in my family.
Apparently. Fucking eat your greens, kids.
It might help. You know what? That's a little too depressing. Let's just...
Well, speaking of dying young...
Oh, shit! I can't fucking believe you've just done this, Fuzzy. Some shit happens in this episode.
Welcome to us talking about episode 10 of Mobile Suit Gundam.
Garma's Fate!
Garma's Fate. Oh boy, oh boy.
Spoiler alert! It's not good.
It's not a good one.
Our buddy Garma.
He He doesn't retire to the Hollywood Hills with 47 Lamborghinis.
I'm not gonna say exactly what happened right now, but I am gonna tell you, my ship sank today.
That's me laughing at irony, the dramatic kind, in your case, if you haven't seen this episode yet and you're not watching along with us. Anyway.
Fucker dies, y'all. He doesn't kiss Char, and he just fucking dies. Alright? That's what happens. End of goddamn episode.
We're not ending that soon, buddy. We have a lot of points to hit.
End of podcast!
Buddy, man, you're in for a fucking sad time because all of your friends are going to die over the course of this goddamn show. And I'm sorry.
Alright, I'm back now. Let's just fucking do this.
Alright, so, real quick, I made note of this today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. About the OP... Because I don't think we've actually ever talked about the OP of Gundam.
Uh-huh. We mentioned it in the first episode when I was talking about how fucking 70s it was.
Yeah, it was really fucking 70s, but I gave it another playthrough to, look at it. And, it's very 70s and bright and hopeful and, really fucking super robot-y, which, to be uh-huh. fair, a lot of Gundam OPs are, even if it is a real robot show. It's still look at our main mobile suit. Isn't it mm-hmm. pretty? Look at mm-hmm. our protagonists a little bit. Mm-hmm. Aren't they neato? But this one, it's man, the gun cannon and gun tank do not get much love.
Nope.
It is very much you're sidekicks, you punk bitches.
Yeah, so, I was about to say it's because they don't look cool, but I would say they both look cooler than the Gundam.
You know... It's weird. In animation, I prefer the Gundam, but in figures, I think the Gun Cannon is a really good action figure. I really dig its look. Which you know now that you have it in
your
home.
Yeah, spoiler alert, Fuzzy gave my son a bunch of his old Gundam toys because Fuzzy's a fucking treasure. But... I think the gun tank is my favorite, and I didn't know why until just now, and I remembered back on some of our post episode, screaming sessions. To be honest, we just yell more. Where I think it's just because it kind of looks like it has a giant fucking skirt, and that's apparently my thing with Gundams. It's just
that's fair.
It's just got a big bottom. All right.
Real quick, I'm not sure if you've seen this yet, but I want to quickly give you a little look at something.
Oh, no.
Because I want you to give it a gander and tell me what you think of that buddy, of that friend.
It says, I'm not looking at it yet, it says RTX 65 gun tank early type.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it, I think, that's some fucking World War II Germany-ass coloring. Also looks cool as fuck. I don't know what to tell you.
That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted. Just for reference, the picture I showed him was from Gundam The Origin, the OVA, not the manga. It's shows the original version of the gun tank. It is a beefy, chunky monkey.
And it looks like an actual tank that they put a Gundam chest on top of. It's like those stupid. Fucking tank/fighter things, except not dumb. Well, okay, less dumb.
Anyway, just wanted to mention how fucking sidekick Kai and Hayato get to be, because you're not Amuro. Also, Amuro. Interesting thing that I noted that later modern OPs do, they show the villain, whereas this uh-huh. one, no mention of the villain.
You well,
don't see
I mean, they,
any villainous
if they,
force at all.
If they if they show Char, it's
fucking
dumb.
Amuro
they just
loses.
Have to keep. Yeah, right. Yeah. They just have to keep Char just does the whole. Obviously, that's the protagonist. Look at him. He's animated so much better.
Fair. Anyway, so after we get 90 seconds of Moe Agare, Gundamu. Then we immediately gear shift into half of the dead populace, as we always do. And then the episode proper begins, with a smashed-ass cityscape and the contemplative song. You know the one. And we zoom in on this big fucking McMansion, where they're throwing a party. And a big old picture of Daddy Zabi is hanging up in this McMansion, and some fucks are talking to Garma and being schmoozy and disgusting. They're also animated to be fucking gross old dudes, too.
Yeah.
Who, like, literally, like, when I say schmooze, you're imagining two figures. One of them is short and squat, and one of them is tall. Those two? Yeah, no, that's exactly what they did. Those two guys. The color palettes may be different than what you're imagining, but I promise you're thinking of the right thing. So, Garma notices Char walking up to the bar and excuses himself, and a bunch of women fawn over him, and he just fucking barrels past on a man on a mission for that hot blonde ass. And he...
Are you gonna gloss over what Char is wearing?
His regular uniform.
No, he's got his helmet off.
Oh, yeah, so Char, when he walks up to the bar... God, I didn't even think about it. I'm so sorry. You take it. You take this one.
Hold on, let me look up the picture of this guy.
Well, so Char takes off his helmet, but his mask is not connected to his helmet. It pulls over his fucking head, and it's not a goggles. It's a Bane mask for his eyes.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's Bane's mask, but without the face thing. Because, you know, you don't cover that fucking mouth.
Yeah, it's a three-prong goggle. So one smack in the middle, going fucking straight down the fucking head, and the other two around, which means... When he takes that off, he looks fucking ridiculous.
He looks stupid! Like, okay, I know it's ridiculous because he's got this fucking... fucking Hail Hydra-ass aesthetic going on. But when he takes his helmet off, it's just, like... At least before you're like, okay, you're going for an aesthetic here. And he takes it off, and you're like... Buddy, someone needs to talk to you. Someone needs to have a fucking conversation with you about these goggles, alright?
That's real fair. So Garma walks over to him and is like, hey, you know who sucks? Everyone in this room except you, buddy.
They have a real good moment. Well,
yeah, they have a real good moment of mutually being like, man, I fucking hate these people. Unfortunately, Char is also talking about Garma when he agrees. Yep.
Char is such a shitbag.
A little bit, and it's only going to get worse. So then Char asks some exposition questions, so that we can get introduced to the ex-governor of California, which they don't mention in the show, but in the manga, the origin manga, they're like, yeah, this is Los Angeles. The destroyed city is L.A. that we're in right now. It's Hollywood and the Beverly Hills.
I just assumed everything was Japan because I'm a dumbass.
Nah, man. They land in South America. They've been traveling up South America through Mexico, and then they just have gotten to fucking California, and they are bailing at California.
Real talk, I'll be honest, now that I think about it, I think I've separated this world from... Like, they say... Australia at the every episode, like, no, they actually don't say Australia, do they?
They don't.
They just show it. But I've disconnected it from the actual world, but yeah.
Geography has no meaning.
Yeah, I was just like, oh, they're just making up places now, which they might still be, but who knows?
I don't actually know if Jaburo is a real place.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Eschenbach. Sounds like a good beer.
It's hoppy. I bet it's hoppy.
Well, then it's not a good beer. Whatever. Let's go.
Hey!
Send your hate mail to fuzzy@gmail.com.
Motherfucker. Some poor fuck is gonna get it. Because that email is taken, but not by me. Anyway.
At fuzzysanoki on Twitter.
Motherfucker. Yep. All right. fuck me up.
They're not gonna fucking... Wait, is that a reference? No, you know what? It's not important. Let's...
So, we get introduced to him, and he doesn't like Zeong, and his daughter, Ice Queen Alina, she gets the queen part later. Ice Alina Eschenbach. She's pretty, and the crowd comments on it for 30 goddamn seconds, and even Char is, like, this close to pulling off his goggles and going, "Shit,"
which is weird, because from an, like, I know that they have to say things like this, because in anime it's kind of hard to tell, because, like, in order to make someone not attractive, they make them obscenely unattractive, but, like, Char is arguably better looking.
To be fair, Char is, like, high-impact sexual piloting.
Right.
Just given form and a big red fucking robot. man, is it hot in here to anyone else?
No, because, again, fucking Garma's about to ruin my life.
Fair, but also a shower scene. So, Garma is like, I'm gonna fucking go talk to that, and bounces, and immediately they start fucking romancing each other on a balcony, and Char, is like, man, fucking trying to romance on the battlefield, what a spoiled bitch. We cut to the balcony, and Garma and Isolina be talking some star-crossed lover shit.
Yeah, it's... As soon as this... Like, despite the fact that the episode's named Garma's Fate, as soon as this is happening, I'm like, oh, my boy is fucking dead. My boy is fucking dead. This is not gonna end well.
Yeah, if you want to know how the rest of this goes, just fucking remember high school, and remember having to read Romeo and Juliet, and...
Yeah.
You're pretty fucking close, TBH.
They hit the throttle hard.
Yeah. Char is by another window, low-key listening, when this Zeon officer fucking runs in and sees them making out, and he's like, yo, oh, my bad, fuck.
She hides behind him.
Yeah. she's like, I'll just fucking take a step towards this balcony and not look at this officer in the eye. But then the officer's like, yo, Trojan horse, about to get out of town, we should fucking get him. And Garma's like, yes, we should fucking get him, that's my great idea, let's do it. And so then he kisses Isolina one more time, and then bounces. We hard cut to the eggplant flying through the air, with the greatest of ease, and also at this point in writing the summary, I forgot the gall, and I only could think of it as an eggplant. So, the eggplant flies through the air, and then we smash cut to White Base, which is flying low and slow through the ruined Beverly Hills, knocks over a car. Hope no one wanted that. The crew naturally realizes Zeon has no intention of letting them get the fuck out of town, and, happy note, Reed is nowhere to be found. He was taken away last episode, and Bright is sitting in the chair that he was fucking occupying, and it is a satisfying shot to see.
Just whistling happily.
Yep. Like, man, Zeon is on our ass, but you know who's not here? Fucking Lieutenant Reed. So we get a 5-minute scene of them just breathing happily, that Reed is gone. And so they're like, oh fuck, Zeon is, like, this close to our ass.
Apparently that guy is fast as fuck.
Yeah. That guy is fast as fuck, boy.
Go figure, because it's slightly aerodynamic, as opposed to the White Base, which is just a flying building.
That's fair. Almaro gets an idea and is like, I'll act as a decoy and lure them away. And Bright's like, that shit not gonna work. The Gaw is already, like, fucking witnessing our back end here. Yeah. Almaro argues.
They got us in their viewports.
Yep. Almaro argues some, and Bright
continues to consider this a bad plan, and we smash cut to the Gaul, who, Xeon starts popping flares in order to spot White Base, and Bright is like, yo, see that blown out fucking baseball stadium? We're gonna back into that.
Uh-huh.
And also, pilots, get in your fucking robots, Shinji.
We're about to do some shit.
Yeah. And he's like, Amuro once again is like, what about my fucking idea? And he's like, we've got a bunch of fucking civilians on deck, and that's dangerous. To which
Amuro said, you know what, you're right. I guess you're right. You know, you got the best interest of everybody in mind, and, you know, I'm just being a hotshot pilot, I guess. I could just, everything's fine.
Amuro does none of those things, because he's a piece of shit, because he's a protagonist, and mutters under his breath, motherfucker, I'm a civilian, and...
But does he actually mutter? I thought he, like, said, no, buddy, you listen here, you need to remember that I'm a civilian, and then fucking walks out.
I don't know what he does in the dub. Remember, in the original Japanese, he mutters it under his breath.
Okay, that might have been why it was so awkward, because it felt like he should have got backhanded again.
Does he yell it in the dub?
It's loud enough that I was like, why doesn't Bright respond to that? He just turns around and leaves.
Fucking weird. All right. See, this is why it's interesting that we're watching two slightly different versions of the same show. So, White Base backs into the parking space with a loud beeping noise. That's not true. Some civilians freak the fuck out in the various holds of the ship because they're punk asses, and a baby starts crying, which the three children that I guess were legally obligated to show once an episode?
I guess. Maybe they're better, like, the animators have had more practice animating and are just like, oh, fuck it, these guys are, instead of coming, design, like, concepting a new character, we'll just use these three again.
Fuck that. Anyway, so they make fucking faces and are generally pieces of shit that I hate.
They're like, stop shining the light on us, jeez! And like, yeah, because the baby's not already crying, you fucks. Also, why are none of the goddamn adults on this? Like, no one's ever taken care of these children except for protagonists.
The fucking other adults on this ship are just all terrible fucking people with the worst bystander complex I have ever actually seen.
They're literally set dressing. Like, they're just scenery at this point.
Now that, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, man, the only animated fucking people we see that aren't protagonists are mothers with children, or old dickwads. And which makes sense, because as we established, most of the adult men have died by this point in the show.
Half the population.
Yeah, the male fighting age half, for the most part, my guys. Gentle reminder. Turns out also the mother lost this baby, I don't know how, and they get reunited and we smash cut away.
Reunited and it wait.
So the Gaul, is looking around real hard, and Char leans in and is like, have you considered carpet bombing?
Okay, he said... the best line I've ever heard. Let me see if I'm going to try to remember it verbatim. It's something like, everyone knows the most expedient way to flush out some rats is a little carpet bombing.
He doesn't say that in the Japanese. Oh my god.
I stopped and rewound it and listened to it like three more times because I wanted to remember it. It's so good. I'm like, Char, you evil fuck.
Look, mech fans, and those who aren't fans yet, I want you to remember something. The most expedient way to flush some rats out of a hole is a little bit of carpet bombing.
I was so happy. Literally the only thing, like, in my head, the only thing that would have made that scene better is if Garma's like, take me now.
Oh man, that's a fucking spike in the waveforms. Oh boy.
Anyways, out of my fanfic, and back to this.
Man, I really want that as a t-shirt. I'm just imagining now, whenever Char fucking plays Mousetrap, he just, like, puts an active grenade on the fucking thing.
Everybody runs. No one can convince him he's lost.
I win! I have built the best mousetrap! Grenades!
Grenades! Nature's mousetrap.
I'm also imagining that one time a fucking mouse got into a warehouse, he just fucking tossed a live grenade in, ruined 3 weeks of food, killed the mouse, also the side of the building. Char, never change, you magnificent sunglass fuck.
So bad. Such a bad person.
Holy shit. Alright. So, Garma, meanwhile, is like, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. And so they start laying that fucking shag rug down. Yeah.
The amount of fucking trust Garma puts in Char is sad. It makes me sad. He just wants to be friends.
Yeah.
I have not seen any reason for Char to be shitty to this guy.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to that. Oh boy, will we get to that. So,
let me guess, he's in love with Isolina, whatever.
Fuck no. You think he's a fucking peasant bitch? No.
Jesus! Alright, back to this.
Char has much finer tastes than mere human women.
Oh, okay, so my ship with him and the Red Comet is sailing now.
There we go.
Okay. Wait, no, he's the Red Comet. His Zaku is just the Red Zaku, isn't it?
I like to call the Zakus the Red Comet, too, mostly because in later Gundam series, they do refer to Red Leader-style Char Customs as Red Comets.
Okay, cool.
Namely, in Build Fighters, one guy names his Char custom the Red Comet, so I just call that also the Red Comet. But it's gonna get confusing when Char starts jumping in other mobile suits. Because, minor spoiler, he drives more than one fucking car.
Beautiful.
And all of them have my other Zaku. My other car is a Zaku. Every single one has that bumper sticker. It's real fucking beautiful. Annoying.
Alright.
Anyway, please now join me in imagining traffic jams with mobile suits. Anyway, so...
Char, wait, hold on, nope, you done fucked up. Char is definitely that asshole in a motorcycle who's just like, I'll just drive down the center aisle, or on the shoulder. It's fine. I'm in a motorcycle. Fuck all y'all.
The worst part is Char actually makes it work and gets away. Every time.
Anyways, now we can smash cut back to actual fucking show. War.
So, they start fucking carpet bombing, and White Base just happens to get missed. We get through a lot of people getting shook around. Civilians are freaking out. Ryu is freaking out a little bit. Kai and Hayato are freaking out a bit. Amuro just grimaces real hard. Meanwhile, the bridge crew is still images, just with color filters put over them, which makes Sayla. Sayla just fucking stares into the middle distance like a fucking psycho.
Sayla, my buddy.
Like, even Bright, like, he kind of is making a wince face, and Mirai is, like, leaning on the wheel, clutching her eyes, like, oh, fucking Christ, this is terabad. Sayla, middle distance, staring, no expression. And I'm just like, God fucking damn, you okay, buddy?
No. No.
No.
No, it's okay.
Meanwhile...
I'm sorry, I just saw you call something Fuck Knuckle in a second.
I'm happy to help here.
Fuck.
So, meanwhile, Iselina is trying to steal her family jet by herself to fly to the Gaw for some fucking reason I don't understand. Romeo and Juliet, love, bullshit, star-crossed, my asshole. Daddy don't like this plan, or her general...
Oh, this is a terrible scene.
Or her general plan to marry Garma. And she's like, I'll have none of that. She argues back, so he backhands her. You know, like a reasonable fuck-knuckle.
Yep. There's the that's what was killing me. Like, I read ahead, because I'm a bad person.
He's
I'm fucking, I'm stealing fuck knuckle. I'm stealing fuck knuckle right now.
I'm happy. It's I'm happy to have provided you this resource.
Anyways, yeah, Iselina, this is the commercial break, y'all.
Yep, Iselina then cries.
Shout!
Hold on, make that noise again.
Shout!
That's really accurate, actually.
Oh, that's depressing, because I'm a dude, and that's, I shouldn't be able to do that.
I don't know what creature makes that noise. I don't proclaim it to even be human.
Apparently it's me.
Apparently it's you.
Hi, it me.
So we come back from commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was hoping... There we go! sweet. I'm glad I have this.
So, I'm gonna regret this real hard every episode from here on out.
You only have to do it twice per episode, I remember. So, I'm probably not gonna remember till I listen back to this. Later. So it'll be like episode like 30 something, and then I'll be like, "Chris, do the fucking thing."
do the show.
So we cut back to Garma and Char straight butt fucking.
In the fanfic.
Yeah. Or more accurately, not finding white base. No, that's not very. They're just putzing around because they can't see it. And so Char is like, hey, why don't me and a couple of Zakus go down there and take a look? And Garma.
Proving that the fastest way to. Flush out some rats is not, in fact,
carpet bombing. It appears to be Char and two other Zakus.
Yep. Char is like, I bet I can get this fuck to waste a shitload of bombs.
Yep. So, Char loads into the... Garma, real reluctantly, is like, fine.
Alright, if you insist.
And he's trying to remain, like, stone-faced and calm and visibly failing. Char loads into the red comic, gives Garma a big ol' salute. He's like, may the glory of victory be yours. Which...
they guess.
they don't. But let me tell you, this episode really likes to take those... magical things that we will probably here on out be referring to a lot, those death flags out of the box and really bringing them up to the top of the mast.
Everything's fine.
Lot of death flags.
No, what do you mean, huh? What?
Lot of death flags.
I don't know. I feel like you're blowing this out of proportion a little bit. I think everything's fine.
So, the Zakus drop very close to White Base, and something I didn't write down here, but I want to talk about. So, casual reminder. The Trojan horse launches its mobile suits from its left forepaw, and the suits are fully standing up in this space. The Gaul vomits its mobile suits from the middle, and they visibly have to crouch to get out.
Yeah.
Which means the Gaw is fucking like little baby.
Uh-huh.
Compared to White Base.
Uh-huh. But Minovsky particles.
At this point, White Base could sit on it.
I mean, it's got an aesthetic, though, you see, and...
A fucking eggplant? Fucking, you should cut it into slices and fry it in tempura batter.
It's one basic color, you fuck. That means it's got an aesthetic.
Motherfucker!
It's... The white base is like 70 different colors. It's just dumb.
It's three! Anyway.
Which were 70s cartoons.
Anyway.
Might as well be 1,000.
Just... So the Zaku's drop in, and Mirai immediately spots them. Also, for a while, I considered making not remembering Mirai's name a bit, and then I'm like, no, I like her too much. So I keep having to Google it. So Mirai spots them immediately, and
Mirai is low key the best character in this fucking show.
She is.
She's just a fucking trooper. You know what she does? Pilot the goddamn white base. Does she bitch about it? No. She just fucking does it. Alright.
It's true. She just fucking powerhouses through.
The only time we've seen her freaking out was a minute ago when she wasn't flying, because she has no control of the situation and has to fucking trust these fuck knuckles to save her.
Don't pack too much fuck knuckle in. You gotta spread your fuck knuckles out.
Sorry, bit. I got a little excited and just went with the fuck knuckle. We'll bow back up.
I know you're excited to have learned a new way of calling people names, but you gotta save it.
No.
Gotta savor the flavor.
Fucking make me. Ugh, don't make that sound at me. How dare you?
You never seen that video of that guy trying ice cream where he's like, you take it, little bit, put it directly on your tongue, rotate the spoon 180 degrees, get it on your tongue,
put your mouth. You did it again! Oh, fuck it, I'm taking my headset off, you shit.
I'm done.
Alright, I'm back. I'll come back.
He does it a lot over this video, and it just zooms and gets louder. I will never watch that video! It's hilarious, I swear.
I can't do it.
I believe in you. The Zakus drop in, Mirai finds them, Bright orders Amuro to fucking get out there and start luring...
Wait, huh? What is
the Zakus away.
What does it do?
It sounds
he fucking
like
does Amuro's plan!
Yeah, it sounds like he does Amuro's plan. That's fucking weird, and I find it interesting that Amuro doesn't go... Hey, you punk bitch, have you considered eating my ass?
Look, I'm not going to go to bat for Amuro very often, because he's kind of a shithead. I just feel bad because he's also a kid, I keep forgetting that. But at this point, Amuro's fucking... Like, yeah, what the fuck are you thinking? This was what I wanted to do to begin with, anyways.
So, Bright's genius plan here is basically lure the Gaul over them, and then they're going to pull out of the parking and give them a full broadside. The tense fight music starts playing as Amuro fucking jumps around searching for his quarry, and we also get the Zakus fucking searching. And let me tell you, this scene is pornographic. It's for those of you who like the Zaku.
Pretty good.
Because,
turgid the entire time.
It's the Zaku just fucking looking around.
That and the fucking eye.
The best part. Oh, yes. Oh, the best fucking part. They keep their eyes off until they get, like, they fill up, like, 3/4 of the frame. And then it turns on and you get the wow noise. And it, ooh.
I get shivers just now from your impression of it.
And it's not even a good one. Oh, God. I want I need that noise more in my fucking life.
You know what? I'm going to set that as my notification tone. So, this scene is fucking real good, actually. Like, there's some fucking predator and prey bullshit going on. There's some real action hero bullshit going down.
Yeah.
But it's real tense.
Yeah, it's actually a really tense scene. So first, Char kind of laments that he's what he's about to do. Char and the Zakus then spot the Gundam. Because Amuro, like, peeks up
Char and the Zakus is my punk rock band.
Fucking. Amuro, like, peeks up and some sun glints off of his fucking bazooka.
We need to fix this. Why do they keep polishing that shit?
Matt.
Stop it.
Matt colors.
This happens so many fucking times.
Flat Matt.
By which I mean twice so far.
Enough that it's a problem.
So it's a fucking problem.
Char spots it almost immediately and shoots at him. And Amuro also, it's interesting. Because this is more of that inkling of that new type bullshit. Amuro can literally not, unable to see the Zakus, can just feel that they're nearby and looking towards him.
Like, spidey senses.
Better. Like, this is obviously better than spidey senses. It's very strange. Weird, it's almost like we're gonna get a sound effect for this thing later in the series. So, we get, we get this real tense fucking shit. Char spots him and shoots him. We get the Amuro shake animation like twice in a row as he gets shot again. Char and Amuro just start fucking going at it with this fucking bazooka fight.
It's good.
Amuro hides behind a fucking skyscraper, and one of the Zakus is looking around, and he fucking looks through a skyscraper and gets blasted in the fucking face by a bazooka shot. And just goes down as Amuro rolls away from it. And then there's another Zaku on top of the building who takes out its axe and jumps at him.
Which, A, I fucking... It's a bad idea. He should have shot. But, fuck, I love that guy. Like, that's... He's got a gun. Right? They've all got guns.
And he throws it away.
He sees him down there. He's like, fuck this gun. I'm gonna do some cool looking shit. Hold my fucking beer.
Fucking bless up to that guy. like, he... The balls on this nameless Zaku driver. Fucking top-notch, my guy. R.I.P. in Pisces when you inevitably die. I'll get to the downside of this guy in a hot second. Because there's a downside. So... Amuro fucking jets up, because he can jump good, and Zaku chases him, but Char, he's smart.jpg, and he's like, fucking, if he's running that way, White Base is the opposite direction, and just fucking peeks up and over, and it's like, yep, there it is. But yep. I'm an asshole.
He fucking protagonists it, he's like, oh, I just, for some reason, know this.
Well, so then Char fucking leans into the camera's like, but I'm an asshole, my friends. Calls up Garma. Hey, I'm in hot pursuit of the Gundam. It's headed north. Go that way. And Garma, with his murder boner strong, starts giving chase. Char fucks off. And then just lets the plan go. Garma and the Gaw begin flying over. White Base pulls out from the ruined baseball dome. And they aim the barrage. The gun tank and cannon get out. The countdown starts. And at a... We get, like... For each 3 seconds, we get a different vignette. So we get, like, a montage of the cannons coming out. We get the bridge. Then we get the Gaw chasing the Zaku, chasing Amuro. And it's fucking comical. Like, there's nothing else you can play. All tension is removed. As this Zaku is limp-wristedly waving an axe as
I'm gonna get you. Oh, yeah. I'm gonna get you with this axe.
Fucking tension gone. The 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Fire. Full broadside barrage into the Gaw and its entire fleet. Amuro blasts the Zaku that's been chasing him, and Garma realizes he is going down. And he uses his last act, is he's going to fucking ram White Base. He's turning it 180, he fucking pushes the pilot's corpse out of the chair
yep.
to fucking do it himself.
Garma fucking, ugh. I'm so mad right now. You know what? I'm gonna let you finish this, and I'm gonna scream for a second.
Char fucking watches and calls Garma and goes, "You know, you've been nothing but a good friend, but the misfortune of your birth has led to this today." To which Garma responds, "Fucking what? The misfortune of my birth? What are you talking about?" "Well, bye, Garma. Char. Char, you piece of shit!" And Char just fucking hangs up.
Yep.
Garma takes control, starts delivering his final monologue. "My death will not be in vain, for the glory of Zeon." Just fucking full shouting it out. Bright orders Mirai to fucking climb as fast as he can. And Garma dies in a fiery explosion with his final thought of Iselina. The rubble from the crash ticks off of White Base's armor before falling into the city and exploding. Yeah.
So let's just rewind a little bit here. So the thing starts exploding, right? It starts coming apart. It's an explosion. All right, cool. The front half of the Gaul is still around, though. We're fine. There's something can happen here, right? Everything's fine.
Right.
Explodes again. Just the cockpit remains. It's all of it. It's just flying towards the ground.
Literally, okay. By the end, it is the bulbous part of the eggplant.
There's nothing explosive left. There's no weapons up there. There's no fuel. He's fine. He's gonna be fine. There's gotta be like
some more bombs.
He's a leader. He definitely has to have an escape pod or a fucking parachute in there, right? Because this is a command ship, and why wouldn't you have a way to get the fuck off of it? Entire thing except for the control module get exploded, and then it explodes again. One mistake, Garma. Garma's a decent... Well, his second mistake, his first mistake was working for Zeon, but his one mistake was being friends with that red piece of shit.
Char fuck-mothering Aznable.
He was doing okay. Like, most of his plans were fine, except for the one where he's like, "I'm gonna get in my ship and go kill it myself." Don't do that. That's a tiny little ship. I don't care how good you are. Don't do that. But... other than that, he's like, okay, plans. He's just getting rammed by his best friend.
Yeah.
It's terrible, and I feel bad for him, even though he's evil.
Sig fucking Zeon, my guy.
Sig fucking Zeon, I guess. Whatever.
I will say, the final shot of him screaming as he fucking takes that nosedive, every rendition I've ever seen of that has been fucking... goosebumps. It's a fucking powerful ass moment.
But all of that power and fury leads to him ineffectually, tinking off the side of the, like, just bits of his ship.
Yep.
Like, at most, there, like, I don't even think a fucking sensor went off inside of White Base.
I will say, in the anime, they correct this somewhat in the manga, where in the manga, White Base actually speeds away, and narrowly misses, whereas in this, they climb to avoid the crashing ship, which I think takes away some of the tension, for sure. Yeah. Whereas the way they did it in the manga, besides being a beautifully colored watercolor spread, it's fucking lit up bright orange. Earlier pages had a sunset on them, and it looks almost exactly the same because of the explosion of Garma's gall. It's fucking exquisite to view, and really well done. Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm. Just right. Mm. So Garma dies in a fiery explosion. Char fucks off. Bright is fucking relieved and congratulates Amuro. Amuro feels kind of shitty about what just happened for some reason. Gets picked up and taken away. We smash cut to the Governator, who informs
fucking such a cock. I hate him.
Yeah, so he's like, "All right, I'll tell her." Click. Isolina
turns away from
in.
Her.
Yeah, turns away from her, lights a fucking cigar.
And just says it.
Yeah.
She's like, Garma's fell in battle, he's dead, goodbye.
Yep, she runs to a tree and cries, asking
and
why.
And punches it a few times.
Yeah, why did this have to happen? Why to Garma? Garma calls out his name. And then we have our final cut. Mm-hmm. Smash cut to a large, wide space view of side mm-hmm. three. Mm-hmm. The Principality of Zeon floats on the far side of the moon. Uh-huh. The news has just arrived. Mm-hmm. A man is crouched at the foot of the throne of Degwin Zabi, who, mm-hmm. after learning of his son's death, drops his cane and scans.
Drops his pimp cane.
Yes.
Which makes a weird sound when it hits the ground, but whatever. Why didn't you tell me that the king of this principality was a Baron Harkonnen-looking motherfucker? Like, how the fuck did Garma come from that? He is the size of three bears. And looks about as ugly. He is 632 pounds. Of just ugly meatbag. And pimp cane.
Fun fact, in other shots of him... Okay, remember... He is currently standing, like, on a giant throne. Mm-hmm. He is, only 5'10", less. 5'5".
Okay, but he's also, like, 6 foot wide, so...
That's true. He got a waist on him. Also, huge dick. You know, I just realized how that sounds. I mean, he is a huge dick. Not that...
I didn't catch that, honestly.
Nope, I didn't at all.
He was commenting on his genitals, does he?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Does this come up?
And gentlemen, and anyone else, welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom, where dick jokes find their home. We are grown men.
We are professional podcasters.
With a sense of professionalism comparative to none.
I've got a red comet for you, John.
Oh, fuck.
You're gonna be in awe of this.
Next week, fucking Isolina comes back for some fucking reason. Amuro!
Well, I hope you enjoyed episode 10 of Mobile Suit Fandom. If you want to yell about how either of us are garbage, or that you actually like what we do, you can find us on Twitter with @MobileSuitPod, and our personal Twitters from there. Also, if you're new to Gundam as a whole and really want to give it a try, check out the official Gundam YouTube channel, Gundam Info. They currently have several dubbed and subbed series of Gundam available for free legally. Until next time, mech fans, remember, that thing was a goddamn eggplant, and we all know it.